at 8.07. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. We'll keep getting your transfer portal names over on the text line. Some fantastic ones here. Some of my favorite. Torino Dog just came in. I would add that that might be Grand Torino Dog. Escatapa River for last name. A lot of people there. Corvair Escatapa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a name you could hear playing some ball. And speaking of football, joining us in studio, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. Thanks for being in here. And what would your transfer portal name be?
Oh, gosh. That's
the name of your first vehicle and the river you live closest to.
Ooh.
Your first vehicle was a...
It was a Chevy S10 pickup.
Okay, so the S10, and you live close to...
The Boardman River.
Okay, no, but now, these days.
Now.
So closest...
Jeez, I don't even know.
You in Mobile?
Dog River, I guess.
Dog River, so you are...
The S10 dog. That's pretty good.
That's S10. It could be a receiver or a quarterback. I'm not exactly sure, but we are generating those.
Is this like the Key and Peele thing?
Yeah.
It's
very
you.
Much like Key and Peele. I'm Key. He's Peele.
Okay.
I want to talk about so much here. First of all, Senior Bowl coming up in what, 10 days?
Yeah, you're scaring me. Yeah, 10 days. It's coming. It's
really
coming.
Close.
So I made the mistake. I got these things. I don't know if you go to a college campus as a scout, you go in the weight room or you go in the locker room, and they've got these countdown clocks to like if you're going to Michigan, they've got the Ohio State countdown clock to that game, and it's got the day, the minutes, and the seconds. And so I ordered a bunch of these, and we got them up all around town at different bars and restaurants, and I actually put one in our office. So now when I walk in every day, just like staring me in the face, I'm like, oh, this was a guy. I got to get this last clock out of here.
Right. It's stressing you out because, I mean, here it is, the biggest of the big games, and it's 10 days away. But I got to go back in history. Before you show up to Mobile, you take the reins of the Senior Bowl. Your history in football is deep.
Yeah, so the last 18 years I was in the NFL.
Seahawks, right?
Seahawks the last five. Had a good long run in New England for 8 years. Was in Kansas City for 4. So, but we've been living in Mobile for 11 years. It's my wife's hometown. We moved down here 11 years ago. And so when the job came open in May, got home from the draft, I just looked at her and I was like, we have to go for this, right? And she was like, you're dang right, we got to go for this. Because the NFL life is a grind, just being on the road half the year and being away from your family. And we've got a son who's getting to be high school age now and playing high school sports at McGill. And
no jackets.
Yeah, and just missing all that stuff. I think he played middle school baseball last year and had about 30 games. I think he made about 4 of them. So it was just, this was an opportunity for me to improve the quality of life for my family.
Well, that's part of the game that I think a lot of us that watch football don't get all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And so if you're out there on the road, you talk about it, how many days a year were you sleeping somewhere that had a continental breakfast,
I guess the best way to put that is, so my wife and I have been together 18 years, and when I took this job, I got on my Marriott profile and looked at the amount of days I've stayed in Marriott. Out of those 18 years, I've spent over 9 of those years in Marriott hotels.
Wow.
So that's kind of depressing. Don't tell her that. I don't know if I've told her that.
Well, that's a lot of time on the road.
What initially got you into football and then eventually scouting?
Well, my dad was a high school coach, growing up in the state of Michigan. And so just growing up around it from being a little kid, falling asleep on tackling dummies during two-a-days and, bringing water bottles out to kids, when you're like 3 and 4 years old. Those are some of my earliest memories. So just that's where the passion for the game started. And then I really just had a one-track mind. I never got bit by the coaching bug. Like, that was really never something for me. I was really more enamored with the team-building aspect of it. So that's why the scouting route for me. People ask me how I got into it, and I truly, the only advantage I had, I knew what I wanted to do from the time I was about 7 years old.
That's something.
Yeah.
So you were born to do what you're doing. If you're just joining us, executive director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, in studio. First of all, we've got the game coming up. But, the game, and this from being here for 11 years, and I'm sure your wife and her relatives, the Senior Bowl's a game. It's also a big party for our city. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, and we're going to try to make it a bigger deal. Really, right now it's been the game, and we're really going to try to grow this event back into the week. So we're adding something every day moving back. This year on Friday, we're having something called the Senior Bowl Summit. It's going to be at the Sanger Theater on Friday morning, and it's really a leadership summit. This year's focus is on team building. So really, it's got a sports filter, but it's not a sports conference. It's not a bunch of football guys sitting around talking about X's and O's. It's really a leadership conference. So we've got a great lineup of guests. So first of all, our two coaches are going to speak at it, John Gruden, Kyle Shanahan. We got Ozzie Newsome, former Alabama great, and Baltimore Ravens GM. We've got, you know, so Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network and ESPN are going to do a panel. But then we have business leaders. We've got Sandra Richards, who heads up Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment, who's one of our sponsors. We've got a gal who's heads up all marketing for Arthur Blank's companies in Atlanta. So really, if you're a part of any team, and I think we're all part of, I think our families are teams, right?
Yeah.
I think that, so if your family, the workplace, I think you can come to this event and really take something away. And what we're trying to do with this event, we don't want it to be one of those stuffy conferences where you just go and kind of sit in your chair.
Right.
Like, it's going to be a lively event. We've got a DJ at this thing. We've got this, we can go into this guy.
Cool.
We can go into this guy later, but the guy that's emceeing the event owns a baseball team in Savannah, Georgia called the Savannah Bananas, and he calls himself the man in the yellow tux. He literally, you know, like Dumb and Dumber, where they wear the orange and baby blue tuxes?
Perfect.
He wears a yellow one. And
it's worth coming to see right there and get your picture made.
They're like the Bay Bears. They had their team, Savannah, pulled out of town. They've got this old baseball stadium. He you know, swoops in, buys this team. Now it's a 4,000 seat stadium. They're in a college baseball wooden bat league, and he sold out every ticket in a 4,000 seat stadium for the 2019 summer season. So, like, he's crazy. They've got, instead of having like young cheerleaders in their 20s, they've got the granny nanas or something. So and like, he's got people in penguin suits parking cars. And, I mean, the guy's totally off the wall, so it's going to be a really fun
event. Pretty
it's
smart
It's going to be a fun event. Yeah, we should have got him here to save the Bay Bears.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, we talked about how big a week this is, and it's really not just the game. There's tons of stuff to get into for fans of the game during the week coming up next week, but also coaches. A lot of coaches care more about the practices leading up to the game more than the game itself. What's kind of the lineup? What's the schedule? When will we start seeing NFL coaches, and when will we start seeing the players roll in and get ready to get going next week?
Yeah, we've got a huge group flying in on Sunday.
Okay.
And NFL, because NFL wants to be here as soon as the players land. I mean, all my buddies are hitting me up, hey, can I get the travel itineraries for these players? We want to be there right when they land. So, because they do, they've got to interview all these players. So it's really a stressful week for them. So they're all coming in Sunday. We've got a smaller group coming in Monday. Orientation will be Monday, where we finally get all the players together and get them together for one time. And it's going to be exciting. And the Raiders and Niners are two participating teams. They've got some of the contingent coming in on Saturday. So it's going down.
And the Raiders,
it's coming fast.
The Raiders have three first round picks this year, so that John Gruden's going to be paying extra close attention to these guys.
They actually, a friend of mine was their interim GM before they hired Mike Mayock, and he reached out to me at the beginning of December. He's like, hey, it looks like we might be coaching your game. So they've been looking forward to this.
This is, if you just joined us, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, is in the studio. We're talking about the events leading up to the Senior Bowl. And of course, when we come back, we'll talk about if people have not gotten their Senior Bowl tickets yet, they've not seen the clock ticking down. They need to get moving on this. As we go to the break, a website, place to go to get tickets?
Yeah, seniorbowl.com. Real easy. Just come to the website or stop by our office across from Bienville Square at 151 Dolphin.
All right, coming right back. More of our discussion with Jim Nagy right here on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Boardings. Glad to have you along. Hey, coming up at 8:35, Rob Hulbert joins us from Lanyap. You know maybe you caught it in the national news cycle, the Mega Coda story, about combining North and South Dakota. Who'd have thought that started right here in Mobile at McGill Toolin? Go Jackets. We'll get more on that story, and also we'll talk about the Airbus groundbreaking yesterday with Rob coming up around 8:35. Right now, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, in studio. And he gave us the website and the office location. But do it again. If people have not gotten their tickets yet, it's time. It's 10 days now.
And they're really going fast. After the holidays, I was a little bit like trying to get updates. Well, how are we doing on tickets?
Right.
How are we doing on tickets? And then we got through the New Year's and boom, then it hit.
Yes, so, Mobile. We wait till, you know, we wait till it's within a month or something.
I have heard that.
Yes,
I've heard that.
It is
so
our
no,
way.
Yeah, see, SeniorBowl.com is the best place to get the tickets, and it's the easiest way. But if you're bopping around downtown, we're at 151 Dolphin right across from Bienville Square.
All right.
One of the things I've enjoyed most this year since you took over as executive director is following you on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And you've been sharing images as all the equipment for the different players has been rolling in, which I always assumed that each player, you know, went to their athletic department and brought their own stuff down. But talk about that process, how you get everything that you'll need for the practice week and for game day, how all that comes into the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, so once we get the roster set, we've got a guy, Phil Silva, who's the former equipment manager at Mississippi State. And he's been, I think this is his 21st or 22nd year working with the Senior Bowl. So it's a well-oiled machine. That's the great thing. We've got a staff in place that has done this game for years and years, and we've got a huge support staff that comes in around game week. So Phil gets the rosters, and he contacts all his friends. And again, everything in football is so, there's such a small fraternity, so all those mm-hmm. equipment guys know each other. So he just reaches out, and they send him. And, if you came down to the office right now, there's a stench in our office. But it's if you're a football guy, it's a good stench. Yeah. I'm not around it anymore. So to get that equipment in and those bags just reek, but I love it. So it's been, yeah, like yesterday showed up to work, FedEx is unloading Oregon and Stanford. I'm like, sweet, we got Oregon stuff. So it's been a lot of fun.
Drew Locke's signature Missouri helmet, that looked really awesome. I thought that was pretty cool with the signature and everything.
Yeah, it's cool how the helmet companies are doing that. And Deshaun Davis, I didn't post the Deshaun Davis one. He's got one. A lot of these higher profile guys have their own signature helmet. It's really sweet.
You were a scout for a long time before taking over as executive director. How has that helped you in your new role? How much assistance has that been, just all the knowledge that you've already gained?
Yeah, it's critical. I really don't know how they ever had anyone in this role that didn't have an NFL background. I think Phil Savage was the first one that did. I can't imagine not having it because, again, this is, you know, for the first time ever, we hired a scouting staff. I hired four guys that had been in the league 69 years, really around the same amount of time as me. They all got let go in that hiring-firing cycle last year. And when you work in football, it's going to happen. It's one of those rare professions. You can be as good at your job as you possibly can, and at some point, you're going to get caught in the crosshairs if you don't win enough games. And so, you know, got these guys. They're under contract for another year with their teams. So, you know, we've got a budget, but we don't have a huge budget. I'm paying these guys a little bit, but they went out all over the country. We had it really spread out geographically perfectly this year. So if you were following me on Twitter, we were posting video from, some weekends we were at 9-10 games as a staff. So we saw a ton of players. We finally got the NFL wrote us into their contract to get all their video this year for the first time. So we can just pull video down from the NFL Dub Center. It's been a blast. So without having those connections, and again, some of these small schools, you know, it's us reaching out to our scouting friends where, you know, if you've seen any small school guys, because we're obviously going to see Bama and Auburn and Georgia, but, you know, if there's a small school guy popping up, you know, like we've got a kid from Washburn University in Kansas.
Wow.
I think it's in Kansas.
I've heard of it.
You know, we've got Washburn, we've got North Dakota State, we've got Stetson, we've got South Dakota State. So in order to get onto those guys, you need to call your scouting buddies and be like, who have you seen? Mm-hmm. You know, and then they'll tell us names, and then you just go to the tape and start watching the tape.
What about that? Is there a digital cork board with these players up, and do y'all say yes, no, what about that? Let's give them two more games. I mean, is it anything like that? How does that work behind the scenes?
Yeah, so we built a board this year. I posted it at the beginning of the fall on social media. I stopped once we actually started putting names on it. These guys can't see where we've got
right,
them.
Right.
But we have our own grading scale for our game, and you know, there's columns with the different positions. And as we went through the fall and the guys on the road were seeing players, they would send the reports in every Monday, and we'd build the board out that way. And then if they sent a grade back in that was good enough to get him to the Senior Bowl, well, then I looked at him in the office and cross-checked him, and that's kind of how we worked it. And then once we had the board built the way we liked it in mid-November, the week of Thanksgiving, I called 17 teams, again, GMs and college directors, guys that have the access to all their grades too. Like, I got a lot of scouting friends I talked to during the fall, but to get a real handle on where teams are situated with a guy, you had to get those decision makers involved. And then we just went through our board, like, here's who we've invited, here's who we'd like to invite, here's kind of the cut line, and we've got three spots open on the D-line with these seven names. Like, out of these seven names, who do you want to see? So a lot of those conversations, those calls took 60 minutes to 90 minutes. And then when that process was done, again, these rosters are for the NFL teams. I'm getting some flack on social media for not, you know, voting like local kids or, you know, kids from small schools inside the state. And we can't do that. You know, the NFL draft has become such big business, such big money. And again, it hurts the players. You know, if we invite guys, local Mobile guys like Deshaun Davis this year and B.J. Autry from Vigor and Blount, totally deserve it. They're good players. They're going to be able to hang and compete. But if we bring guys locally, just just to give them the local invite.
Right.
They're going to come down there. That hurts them because they can't hang. It's really obvious to everyone in the league. Mm-hmm. So then if you're a scout that left the school and you really wanted to kind of fight for that player, but then he comes down here and struggles in front of all your peers, all the other coaches and scouts and your staff, you're not going back to, if like when I was in Seattle, I'm not going back to Seattle fighting for that guy anymore.
Right.
So, you know, I know a lot of local people want to see local guys in the game, and I do too, you know, but they just have to be good enough.
Well, one of those local guys you just mentioned, Deshaun Davis, outstanding video online of you calling him personally, and I don't remember if Gus Malzahn answered the phone or if he
was
just
Gus's
nearby.
Phone. It was actually okay. Gus's phone, yeah.
And you called to let him know that he will be coming back home to play in the Senior Bowl. Talk about that moment when you got on the phone with Deshaun.
Yeah, it was, you know, I'm probably going to do it differently this year because I waited to the end because I didn't want Deshaun to get, you know, we had already invited 90 players at this point, and I didn't want him to get lost in that 90 shuffle. Same thing with BJ, and I waited to the end. Next year, I might just do the Mobile guys first because, mm-hmm. again, the social media backlash and people are saying boycott the Senior Bowl. And I'm like,
oh, come on.
But no, it was a great moment. It was really cool. The Auburn people were great. Gus was awesome. He had called him. They were in the team meeting room. He picks up the phone, and I ask for Deshaun, and the kid comes up, and then you invite him, and the room erupts. It was really awesome. But the you know, it shows his teammates' reaction shows you what they think of him. You know, that wouldn't have happened for just every guy in that locker room. So they did. They went nuts, and they were happy for him. It was cool.
Let's talk about some of the other players that we've got coming down. And I know last year Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen being in the Senior Bowl, I think, did a lot for the game because Baker Mayfield going one overall and then both of them eventually starting in the NFL. You've got a great group of quarterbacks that are coming down to Mobile this year.
Yeah, we're fortunate. You know, my first year in the game, it just lucky how it turned out. In the 23 years I've been coming down here, I think this is our best quarterback group top to bottom. You know, last year, like you said, Baker going one. I think Josh went seven, so two top 10 guys. That's awesome. But usually there's a little drop-off. Mm-hmm. You know, usually when you get to the six, seven, eight, spots, they're more free agent level type players. But this year's group, you can go from, you know, Drew Locke and Daniel Jones from Duke are both getting a lot of first round love. You got, you know, Will Greer from West Virginia, Stidham. Yeah, it's just all the way, Ryan Finley from NC State. And then you got guys like Trace McSorley, who's a household name in college football, won a million games at Penn State, and Gardner Minshew at Washington State, who I thought he should, the Mississippi mustache. Yeah. I thought he should have been in New York for the Heisman this year. I mean, all the way through. And then just last week to add Tyree Jackson from Buffalo, who's a junior graduate. He decided to come out late, and we added him anyway. We're just trying to add good players. I think it's the first time we've ever had nine quarterbacks, but I mean, Tyree Jackson's getting third round grades for most of my, you know, buddies in the league. So I'm not going to let a third round quarterback just, you know, sit in Buffalo.
Right.
So we're bringing him down too. It's a great group.
What other position groups are you feeling best about this year? What's the strongest, deepest part of the which side of the ball are you liking?
I would say that the pass rush group is really good. I think if you're a team that needs defensive line help, this is a really good draft. You know, we got Montez Sweat from Mississippi State, mm-hmm. who a lot of people down here know. He's had double digit sacks the last couple of years. Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech is the all-time sack leader. He broke Terrell Suggs' record this year. So those guys are good. Our offensive line group is really good. So when I was making those calls with the teams in November, like I talked about, going through the positions, that was the group where they were like, whoa, that's a good group. The NFL is really happy with this O-line class. So it should be a really fun week. Those one-on-ones between the offense, defensive line will be some battles.
And it's real NFL coaching out there. If you're able to make it out to the practices game week, the coaches are fired up. It's just like they're getting ready for a regular season NFL game.
Well, and that's why getting John Gruden here this year is huge, because this is his fourth time coaching the game, but it's his first time since he's become a real celebrity. You know, he took those 10 years out of the coaching ranks and went into TV and did the ESPN QB camps and Monday Night Football. So I think people know John Gruden more than did, you know, 10 years ago and what he's about. And he is so entertaining. We had him up to Seattle about 3 or 4 years ago when I was up there. He came in to speak to our scouting group, and he walked out after about a half hour, and we all looked at each other. We're like, did anyone tape that? Like, it was unbelievable. The dude is so entertaining. So if you just want to, for no charge, if you just want to go out and be entertained for 2 hours, come to one of the North practices because that dude is, he's awesome.
All right. Before we wrap up here, remind folks once again, 10 days out from the game. That's what it says on the countdown clock.
Yes.
Remind folks how to pick up their tickets for the 2019 Reese's Senior Bowl.
Yeah, seniorbowl.com or down at our office. And I do want one more plug. We're teaming with Joe Bullard Automotive this year. We're doing a $10,000 giveaway at the end of the third quarter. So you come to, you randomly selected from the crowd. We're going to do a skills challenge down on the field, kind of like that Dr. Pepper thing they do at the SEC championship game. So you walk into Lad Peebles for $10 and you can walk out with $10,000. I mean, that's...
Okay.
I go to my son's baseball tournaments and basketball games and I pay $10, $15. So it's the cheapest ticket you could get. And we got the Million Dollar Band coming down from Alabama. We got mascots coming around from all over the country. So it's going to be a cool event.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for what you're doing. And we'll see you out there in 10 days.
Awesome.
Don't sweat it. You got this. Yeah, it's just 10 days. You get all the time in the world. Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, with us right here on Mobile Mornings. Coming back, Rob Holbert from Landyap joins us. How about that? Mega Coda, the whole national discussion about Mega Coda started at MACT. How about that? That, and we'll talk some Airbus and probably the latest drama between the city council and the mayor. All straight ahead right here on Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5.
.37 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton.
So I've been talking to you over the break, and we've been talking a lot about that brand new 2019 Sierra and how hot that looks. But also right now, the 2018 Sierra, which is also an awesome truck, got some good deals going.
Yeah, Dalton, it's a perfect time. You know, we talk about it off air, and I want everybody to go to McConnellAutomotive.com. And, Dalton, what they're going to see on my website if they click on Sierra is we have about 7 of these trucks left. I mean, they sticker price at $54,55, and you're going to be able to buy them at like $44,000 or $45,000. So it's over 10 grand off. And what that means for somebody listening is if you shop for a 17 model used truck, anywhere from a Chevy store to ours, any place, they're about $40,000. So you're talking about buying a new truck at a used car price. And the other thing I want everybody to do is check out this 2019 Sierra. If you're driving a Ford or Dodge, and anything other than a GMC, check out the new GMC Sierra. It'll blow your mind with that rear tailgate, all the new features that nobody else has, man. But we're having fun with this, guys.
Yeah, it's some great stuff. Have a good day.
Y'all have a great one.
Thanks, Mitch. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, and it is a Thursday. That means we get to check in with our buddy Rob Holbert, or as Kelly says,
Roberto.
Roberto from Landyap Mobile.com. Lots to talk about here, from groundbreaking for Airbus, which I think is a huge story. But my favorite from the new Landyap is your Damn the Torpedoes column, because I have heard this story. Thank you for bringing this to my awareness, because I've heard the national story, the discussion of Mega Coda, which is not a new transformer. It's the idea of combining North and South Dakota. And that is a story that started right here in Mobile.
It's pretty funny stuff. You know, a local sophomore in high school, his name is Dylan Stewart. And Dylan, the way it started, basically, for the backtrack a little bit, there's a petition on change.org to unite North and South Dakota into one state. The way it started is Dylan and I guess one of his friends were having a more serious discussion about Puerto Rico becoming a state, and I guess Dylan didn't like the lack of symmetry in the having 51 stars. We'd have to redo the flag, etc. And so his concept was, why don't we just combine North and South Dakota as a state? And so he gets on change.org as a joke and says, let's make it at one state and call it Mega Coda. And from there, the internet takes over, and it becomes a cautionary tale in bad reporting, and also just people losing their minds over things that aren't real. And 16,000 petition signers, but some of the media picked it up. Somebody had their article picked up by USA Today, declaring him a resident of Fargo. And for some reason, you know, and then, you know, there's TV stations that went out and did man in the street interviews, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, all this stuff was pretty funny because, you know, a local kid here just, somebody called me the other day and said, you know, are you aware of this? And I'm like, I hadn't even heard of Megacoda, but, and yeah, you know, I, he goes to school with my son, so the father of Megacoda is here in town.
Yeah, and I heard the story through one of our national radio shows, the show that's on before ours this morning with Gordon Deal, and they were all in this discussion about Megacoda. Next thing I see, your Damn the Torpedoes column. I go, you gotta be kidding me. They talked about it like 5 or 6 minutes on that national show.
Are they talking about it for in seriousness? Or
no, they're cracking up. They're cracking up about
it. Yeah. You know, and that's what Dylan said, you know, he said that some of the things that happened to him, you know, he gets, he said the, you know, of course they just decided he was from Dakota for some reason. Somebody just decided that. So all of a sudden he becomes from Fargo. And he said that nobody ever asked him anything about that. Then one of the TV stations did a big report on it and pulled pictures of him from, I guess, when he was about in the eighth grade. He's got some sort of grease pencil mustache drawn on his face. And so, I mean, you know, that's for a 10th grader, that's kind of a slam, you know. And they kept calling him an 8th grader, and he's had a tough time with that kind of stuff.
But
he's had fun with it at school. They made some Megacoda T-shirts, and you know, they've had fun with it at McGill. I think my son's jealous he didn't come up with it, but, you know, I said something about it. Yeah, it's not that funny.
Okay, because I would say for in today's world, you talk about, you know, hallway cred. If you're the person that started this goof at McGill that's now a national news story, I think you win with the hallway cred.
Well, yeah, I agree. And that's, you know, I when I came home and I said that, I said, you know this guy. He goes, yeah, I know him. I'm like, I said, you know, he started making a code thing. My son's like, yeah, it's not that funny. Like, I disagree. It's funny. And my daughter's dying laughing. She's like, it's hysterical. I'm like, I think you're just jealous.
Yeah, I think they're. I think
he's,
the
he's just silently rooting for him.
Yeah, the green monster of envy is present.
Yeah, I think
there.
It is. There's no doubt. if my kid or one of his buddies had come up with the Megacoda thing, they would be very excited about it. But you know.
I've known him since he was born. Tell him I think he's jealous as well. You can add me.
I think so too.
Add me to the mix.
Pretty funny, though.
Oh, it's a great story. Y'all read more in Damn the Torpedoes in the new Lanyap. And speaking of things that are bringing national, and I would argue here, international attention to our city is the new, the groundbreaking yesterday and the A220 build out here for Airbus. This is, I mean, Mayor Stimson yesterday saying, and if this is true, when this is finished, Mobile will be the fourth largest airplane manufacturing city on the planet.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, and I think, you know, we sometimes, I think, expect this, you know, I hear this all the time, is, you know, well, when's all this Airbus stuff going to happen? When, you know, when's somebody going to come and hand me my bag of cash? And I don't, you know, and I mean, I guess there's that sort of, that thing when you engage in this and it's going to change the city and people feel like, gosh, it's not happening fast enough, but the realities are that this is a big deal. Getting a second line, you know, one of the big things it does is, as the mayor explained yesterday at his breakfast, is that they have a, you know, when you get more airplanes being built here, it means more of the suppliers are likely to move here because, you know, when there's just one line, it's easier for them to supply from afar. But as you build more and more planes, then it becomes, where they say, hey, look, we've got to move there. We've got to have folks on the ground there. So that's more opportunity for people coming here. Again, you know, the more people come here, more businesses come here, the better off that we will be, and closer you will be to getting that bag of cash, maybe.
Well, okay, but, I mean, the problem is, you know, people may wait for that bag of cash. In reality, though, it is something that you look at the you know, facility for the 330 and now with the A220 and those jobs, those are jobs that economies are that is the rising tide that lifts many boats out there, because those jobs are the jobs that have people get homes and cars and, you know, and vacations and buy furniture, all those kind of things. It's a big deal.
It is. It's, you know, it's the, as you say, you know, it's, they call it, it's generational change. You know, it is an operation that will 20 years from now have borne fruit that probably can't see right now, but you're going to be looking at it 20 years from now going, wow, look at that difference. I think you will see that you know, it is a big change for this community in terms of what we do here and what we're known for.
And that is something that's, I mean, we're known because those businesses are here. I've said it many times. I don't think it's anything new. Because of infrastructure, I mean, Brookley and Landing Plains, the interchange of I-10 and I-65, the Mobile River, the Alabama port, the Port of Alabama, all that coming together brings them here. But you got to be able to retain them. You got to be able to sell, because there's other people that do have infrastructure in this country, and sure. you got to beat them. So I know there's a lot of hard work, a lot of meetings that gone into this over the decades, and it's now bearing fruit, more fruit.
Yeah, it is, and it's you know, I think when you go, it's always kind of invigorating to go and listen to people, you know, that have been putting these deals together, talk about them. Yeah, because we get caught up in it. Just yeah, okay, it's going on out there. We know we're building planes now. You know, we're building 20 a month now. But you know, it really, when you start listening to people talk about how these deals happened and how close they came to not happening, and you know what it's meant so far, it is impressive, and it's exciting.
It's great. Can you hang on a second? Can you come back after the break?
Absolutely.
With us?
All
right.
Sure.
We're coming right back with Rob Hulbert. We'll talk more about this, all the new things and the new issue of Lanyap, plus restaurant inspection time. He's got some, I guess he's got some scores. We're going to get into that. Yeah. Tentatively when we return. Right, 8:51 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Glad to have you here, and we'll get right back to our conversation with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. But a heads up, Seaspire Tech Movement is taking over the region because the Southeast and Mid-South can't compete for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So Seaspire is investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and the Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP Computer Science, so Seaspire is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms. They're also setting up coding programs and competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never thought possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is a foundation for economic development, Seaspire's on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses in our region. The future's out there, and the Seaspire Tech Movement is leading the way. Join that movement at seaspire.com/Tech Movement. 8:52, and Rob Hulbert, our guest with Lanyap. We talked about a couple things here. We've talked about yesterday's groundbreaking and also the Megacota story. And then you made a reference here to restaurant ratings here? What's going on?
Well, it's restaurant inspections.
Inspection.
And, it's a story Jason Johnson's done, and it's pretty interesting. You know, obviously, you go into any restaurant and you see their health rating on the wall. You know, and that is done by the health department, Mobile County Health Department. What is going on currently is that you know, health department is woefully behind on getting these things done, and it is creating a situation where a lot of restaurants either are being delayed in opening or being delayed in having their business license renewed each year. They can't have their business license renewed until their health inspection is done, so they're getting fines. They're getting you know, getting all these different fines and delays going on because they can't get the inspections done.
Okay, so I mean, that's tough to make it a business friendly city when you can't get your inspection done.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I know that there are some restaurants that have been slated to open for a month or two that are still waiting, and you know, that's time is money. You know, when you're trying to put together a restaurant, which is a tough business anyway, I think we all know that. In Mobile, we've had a huge burst of restaurants in Mobile over the last few years, so it's tough competition anyway. And if you're saying, you know, sitting down doing your budget and saying, okay, we're going to be open by November, and you're still sitting here right now not open, that's costing you money. And if you're just waiting for that to happen, but it has been an issue, and you know, on top of the whole issue of whether the restaurants are being inspected in a timely, regular fashion. I mean, you know, from the cleanliness standpoint. But they've gone from having about 15 to 18 full-time inspectors to just 12 right now.
All right. Rob, I want to take it to Montgomery for a second here.
Sure.
With the inaugural speech of Governor Ivey on Monday. Yeah, I've talked about it through the week. I thought it was interesting. It wasn't just your normal, at least to me, inaugural speech. It was got down in some details, or maybe not details, but dealt with some subjects that aren't fluff subjects, right? The governor talking about infrastructure, which equals the gas tax discussion,
right.
Even talking about prisons. I mean, that's not usually the stuff you wade off into on your big inauguration day.
Well, she hadn't done any of that during the campaign, so it was time to do it. You know?
Right.
We didn't hear any of that, so, you know. It was,
I mean, she answered questions, and people said, what is she about?
Yeah.
It sounded like she answered that.
Hey, I'm glad to hear some of those things, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, it's nice to hear plans and to see how they're going. I think getting Joe Bonner in as her chief of staff is a good move. He's a sharp guy, and you know, as Ashley writes this week in her column, it's time to give the governor a chance and see what happens and see how she does. And so hopefully there's going to be some, you know, she's going to move forward with some of these things. Obviously, the gas tax is going to be a big issue, but it sounds like it's going to be a foregone conclusion. It's really just a matter of how we're parsing that money out. Where's it going to go? Who's going to get it? How's it going to be used? Can we keep it out of the general fund?
Right. Well, I mean, that's my hope. And listen, I'm grasping at straws here, but the governor had her pre-inauguration party down here at the Gulf State Park. Was down here yesterday for Airbus. And, you know, the former congressman, like you mentioned, from AL1 is now chief of staff, Joe Bonner. Maybe, at least I know that she knows where Mobile and Baldwin counties are. She is aware.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit more that way, for sure. And you know, and having Joe Bonner there as chief of staff, at least to know that you know, the southern part of the state's not going to be totally ignored. So that is a good thing for us.
All right, and as people go out to pick up a copy of the new land app, first of all, is that a wiffle ball?
That is a pickleball, Sean.
Pickleball.
We got pickleball, a cover on pickleball. It is sweeping the area. It's all the rage. So
pickleball.
And, you'll notice that the pickleball player is wearing eye protection. This is
yes.
A heavier ball than a wiffle ball. So, you know, we don't want any detached retinas. So.
Right.
It's a good story from Dale Leash on this new sport. It's not, I guess it's not so new, but it's becoming very popular.
Pickleball. Okay, we'll read about
pickleball.
That as well. And if people want to pick up a copy of Land App, how do they find it?
They want to pick up a pickleball cover. They can walk around and see our 1,500 different locations in Mobile Baldwin County, all of our pink and purple boxes. You can also go online at landyapmobile.com and check us out there, or have us delivered to your home for $1 a week. Go to the website and sign up for home delivery.
All right, Rob, as always, I appreciate it. And get ready. I'm putting your Damn the Torpedoes explanation of Megacoda out to the national news audience. So your phone probably could be ringing soon with those folks. And I think it's good. I think it's awesome, this story that I had heard about. Now that I know it has its genesis right here in Mobile, I'm proud, man.
I feel proud, too. I was going to say that is the feeling. I feel proud. I don't know why, but I feel proud.
Well, I do, because it's something to be proud of, man.
I'm proud of Dylan. It gives me hope.
Go Jackets, for sure. Absolutely. Rob Holbert, as always, man, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
I take care.
All right, Rob Holbert with Land App. And we are out of here. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. And we'll see y'all, the three of us, we'll see y'all in the morning. Tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, Mobile Mornings. Y'all have a great one.